Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for yet another trip report. Listener Oriana is standing by right now to share her trip report from a great vacation with an extended family. She was expecting lots of fun stuff that I think we can all glean some tips and tricks from. So stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Planning a trip to the happiest place on earth? Share your love for your favorite mouse with The Running Buddy's new Disney Luxe Travel Collection. They offer a variety of products like Mickey and Minnie Mouse backpacks, purses, magnetic hands-free buddy pouches just like I use, and much more. You even get a free Disney pin with each purchase. Also, as a special gift to the Be Our Guest podcast listeners, use the code BEOURGUEST for 10% off at checkout. Check them out today over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at TouringPlans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of maybe two of those big ice cream sandwich cookies over at Sleepy Hollow, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1451 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. We've already made it to the last Monday of February. How about that? You know, spring has to be around the corner. Man, I can't wait for some spring. We've got spring training already going on. It's a great time of the year. We got to be optimistic that the worst of winter is behind us. And speaking of winter, we have a special guest today joining us to talk about a great trip report. Lots of dynamics in this one. I think we can all learn something from this trip. Oriana's joining us, and she knows, I know she's ready for spring because she's up in Minnesota. How's it going, Oriana? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Glad to have you on the show. So just real quick, fill in all the listeners that are, you know, we have tons of listeners down in the South and in Florida and all these places where, you know, it gets down to 60 or 55 and they throw on the heavy coats. What's it like surviving a winter up in Minnesota?
Well, we're all kind of used to it by now, but outsiders looking in, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, when that polar vortex was hitting, man, it was like, are those real numbers? Like, can it go that far negative? Like 50 below wind chill? Like, is that possible? And you guys did it.
Yep, we did. But after a while, it kind of just feels the same.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just like, I can imagine just like walking out and just getting punched in the nose. You know, just like, here you go.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So let's talk some Disney here and have a good time. This trip you took was kind of the end of the summertime. So we're going to go back a little bit. But there was, you know, a lot of things happened in this one. So give us some of the special things about this trip, your travel party and all that kind of stuff. So we can kind of lay the groundwork and dive into some of the details.
Okay, so this trip was a long time planning. I got pregnant in 2016 and I knew that I wanted to take my son when he was around two. So we could sneak in right before his second birthday, have him sit on our lap and still kind of enjoy the rides. And so we started planning, and more and more and more of our family started tacking on to the trip, and we ended up going with 11 adults, two kids, and one toddler. So it was kind of a crazy adventure, but we all had a blast.
That's, you know, that's really what it is all about, because I think most people that are listening to today's show, eventually you're going to probably do a trip like this. Now, not every trip's going to be the extended family and everything, but I bet everybody does this at least once. And it is so much different than when you're going down with just your family, you know, your small family, like I have with my wife and two daughters. You know, if I take my mom, my sister went one time with her, it was just such a different feel to it. But let's you mentioned the planning, and it took a long time because you guys had almost 2 years of planning. Walk us through some of the tools you used for that, because with that many people, you have that many sets of expectations, that many sets of travel accommodations. So how did you keep everybody in touch, and how did you kind of come to your decisions?
So the nice thing about it was I was traveling with like my immediate family of like my mom, my dad, my brother, his fiance, and we've all traveled together on our Disney trips, because growing up we would go every couple of years. So we knew what we already liked and the way we travel. So that was already half the party. Then the other half were people that either went when they were really, really little, so they don't remember anything, or they haven't gone at all. So they had no expectations and no requirements of what they wanted to do, because they've never been there. They didn't know what they wanted. So it kind of gave me free rein to just plan everything from the ground up, which was really, really nice. Because I think when you start getting in with a lot of opinions, then yes, things get a little harder. So I was lucky with that, but it was very different traveling with a toddler, because I was too little to even remember when I went when I was that age, and then my brother and I are close in age, so we kind of grew up together liking the same things. So it was very different traveling with a toddler, and I did a lot of research behind that.
And I think, too, the thing, you know, you mentioned that, you know, if I was going to give some advice right here off the top with traveling with a group like this, and you had it kind of ideally, you had a group that knew really what they were getting themselves into, what it's like to go to Disney. You kind of know each other's likes, dislikes, traveling habits. But then to have that other group that's, you know, not very opinionated, that's a blessing, too. And I think, you know, if you have folks that are either newbies or they just really, I mean, not caring isn't always a negative thing. It's just that you really don't care if you don't have any kind of an expectation for the trip. If you can set somebody up as your point person out of the big group that knows what's going on, and it's more importantly, I think, that's passionate about what's going on, I think you set yourself up for success. And it sounds like you took that role, they trusted you, and it sounds like for the most part, it turned out great.
Oh, yeah. The trip turned out amazing. Everybody had an awesome time. There was no fighting, no disagreements about different things, and it just went really well. We had like a couple meetings where we got together as a group, and I kind of went over a few things. Of course, I was like way overly prepared, and people didn't really, I mean, when you start talking about rides, everyone's comparing the rides to like a local fair. Mm-hmm. So they don't understand the way that Disney does everything. So it's kind of hard to explain it to them, but we sat down with a couple meetings. We went over what the itinerary would be. I adjusted a couple of things based off of opinions that I got, and the way we stretched the budget in different locations to be able to splurge on some things and cut back on other areas. But yeah, it was such a good trip, and we had a lot of fun.
All right, so you guys get down there, and you spend a couple days. You rented a house in Davenport kind of to get everybody in.
Yep.
Into Florida, everybody settled.
So
talk to us about that before we really get rolling with the Disney part of the trip.
Yeah, so the house had a clubhouse attached to it, so you could then go use their lazy river and their water slides. So that was really nice, and it had its own pool at the house too. So that would be I recommend doing something like that for a bigger group if you kind of want to stay away from the Disney crowd. But I like to be fully immersed. So we only were there for 2 days while everybody flew in. And then we traveled over to the world. And a couple people went to Universal Studios for a day. And then we checked into Pop. And the rooms were all, they were renovated by then. So it made it easier for us to be able to all be in nice rooms and all be close together. And we were able to get all on the same floor, which was really nice.
So let's talk about Pop real quick, because you had, you know, kind of all kinds. You know, you had a toddler, you have your in-laws, you know, you have, did it work out? It seemed like, because I think that's kind of the toughest thing. Like, you know, some people, when you have like a wide range of like age groups and demographics in a travel party, some people might be expecting like deluxe accommodations while somebody else is, you know, perfectly suited to a Pop Century. Like, you know, my family, we love Pop Century. Was it something that kind of worked out for everybody and there weren't any complaints?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because when we used to go as a kid, my mom's main resort is the Polynesian. So she's used to the deluxe accommodations and being right on the monorail. So I thought that would be kind of hard for my mom and my dad to adjust to Tupop. But no, I think they both absolutely loved it. The rooms are really nice. And it wasn't like where we were in one of the buildings that was closer to the main building where the buses are and the food. So that was even better because we didn't have to walk very far. But yeah, it worked out perfect. The pools were good for all ages of the kids that we had with. The adults actually, I'm trying to think if anybody went swimming. I don't think any of the adults went swimming. The kids went with just like chaperones. But yeah, it worked out really well. We absolutely loved Pop, and that's now my new favorite resort.
I'm with you, especially with the new rooms. It's a great place to land. And the word's getting out. I mean, that's a huge resort. And some, you know, there's some dates where, you're lucky to get a room. And it's like, that thing's got there's so many rooms there. And it still sells out frequently. So let me ask you this. So you guys went to the Magic Kingdom. Some folks went to the studios, Universal, those studios, not Disney's Hollywood. And so what was your first, initial thoughts going to the Magic Kingdom with your son? He's a toddler. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've had expectations for 2 years of what this moment was going to be like initially. What's that first day like with your son in the parks?
So we are the type of Disney goers that go, go, go as fast as we possibly can. And then in the afternoon, we go back and take a nap for a few hours. And then we'll hit up the park until close. So I set aside 3-4 hours in the afternoon for us to go back, for him to take a nap. Us to take a nap because of course we need it too.
Oh man, I take a nap every day if I can. Yeah. True. I'm way better that way.
Exactly. That's how we all are. But he would fall asleep in the stroller. So we were kind of stuck because the minute you would drive up, we had a car. So the minute you would drive the stroller up to the car and put him in the car seat, he'd wake up. And by the time we got back, he was wide awake. So it ended up being like this weird thing of the adults being exhausted and the toddler being ready and raring to go for the whole day. So that was a first huge shocker for us that first day, but he absolutely loved all the rides. I was a little weary about is he gonna get scared? Is he not gonna like moving in things? But no, everything he went on, he absolutely loved. He's an easygoing kid. We had some issues with restaurants, and so if we didn't get our food right away, then it would usually have to be when the adults would have to take him out because he would get a little antsy. But it's amazing to go and to be able to see the world through a toddler's eyes or your kid's eyes. And everybody would give me a lot of grief for taking him so young. They're like, no, you have to wait till he's older. And I keep telling him it's not for him, it's for me.
Yes.
It's for me to be able to see him enjoy it and to go up to the characters and see them in real life. So that was just so amazing.
Well, because if you take them when they're young, it's not like you're excluding taking them again when they're 8. You know, a lot of us, we can go again. It's I know a lot of folks only get to go, but it's a choice. I mean, it's your thing. You go one big trip and, maybe you've had your Disney fill, but for the folks listening to today's show, most of us will, take the kid when they're younger, then maybe save up a couple of years and take them back when they're, 6 or, whatever, because it doesn't exclude that. And like you said, it's for the parents, and you enjoy seeing your kids have all these new experiences and seeing the characters that they see on Disney Junior or, just when they see Mickey Mouse. I mean, some of them freak out. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Like, whoa, man, that mouse is 4 feet tall. But, it's also the moments where they get to share with their favorite characters when it is just, it couldn't be more magical. There's something to be said for that, too.
Yeah, he was scared for the first couple days. We really tried to push characters, so we would make sure we'd see a few a day. And towards the end, he was going up to them, giving them hugs. And those are the moments that just tug on your heartstrings.
That's a positive and a negative. Boy, you love seeing it. You're like, oh, this is so cute. And then when they want to meet every character, you're like, come on. Yeah. want to have to wait.
But... we have a fast pass.
Exactly. Amen for that. All right. So one of the things you did on the next day, I want to just, you have a lot here, so I'm going to get it all. We only have so much time. Let's get this thing. The girls went to Ivy Trellis and the guys went to the Magic Kingdom, looks like, and did some rides. You guys had Captain Cook's for breakfast. So you're on that monorail loop next to the Magic Kingdom. But talk to us about Ivy Trellis, because this is really a hidden gem at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Mallory and her friend Emily did this together as a birthday present for Mallory. Scott and his family gave this to Mallory for her birthday. It was very generous of them. They had this great experience. They loved it. But tell us about your experience over there, because I think this is something that our listeners need to know about.
Yeah, so we originally booked the Bippity Boppity Boutique for Ava, one of my cousin's daughters, and she's 9. And I mean, I watched the videos because I've never done it myself, but I watched the videos of people going there, and it's kind of overpriced, and you know, she's 9. So she's kind of getting to that point where she's not really that little. And so I heard about the Ivy Trellis, and I instantly thought that that was the right option for her. It's cheaper than the Bippity Boppity Boutique, but you can still have the full makeover. They don't do dresses there. But I bought a dress on Amazon before we went and gave that to her as a gift. And so that worked out perfect. So she was Belle. And then I've got my cousin that came with too. She is definitely a kid at heart. So she did the makeover also. So it was the two of them that did their makeover. And then all of us girls dressed up as princesses. So we couldn't really wear dressy dresses, but we wore the colors of the princess, and then we had crowns too for the rest of the day. So we had a lot of fun doing that. But yeah, I would recommend that to anybody looking to do that princess vibe that maybe wants to go cheaper. Or Bippity Boppity Boutique is booked. But yeah, I would definitely recommend it. It's a small little shop, so you can't bring like a million people in there. You can maybe just have one waiting while the person is getting their hair done. But there's a window, so you can definitely stand outside and look.
Yeah, while our girls were doing it, they were the only two in there, you know, actively getting their hair done. I remember Scott and I sat, there were like two other chairs, and they just let us sit in the chairs and kind of watch and take pictures. Oh, and, you know, the moms were there taking all the pictures, and it was a really, really cool experience. I mean, and I thought it was very reasonable for what you paid compared to Bippity Boppity Boutique. And it was, like you said, you know, Mallory and Emily were like 10, you know, so they were on that border where they weren't 4 and 5 anymore. They were kind of moving on. And I will tell you, over marathon weekend, when I was down there a few weeks ago, I was I don't know why I was going through the Grand Floridian. I think I was going to some kind of an event for Cigna, and I was getting on the monorail at the Grand Floridian, and there were 3 women, younger women, like in their 20s, but no kidding, their hair looked exactly like Belle, Cinderella, and Snow White, like, because they must have come from Ivy Trellis, because, I mean, their hair could not have looked more like the, you know, the animated characters. Like, it was, I mean, I don't even notice hair, you know, like, I don't notice it, but, like, that's how good it was. And so I think it is something, you know, with, like, like you said, like, with the Disney bounding and stuff like that, that's where you go to kind of, you know, put on the finishing touches, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And they are, I think they're professional stylists too. They're not just hired cast members. So they know what they're doing.
Oh yeah, man, they're no joke. That hair was awesome looking. Yeah. So you guys all met up over at the Magic Kingdom, had some fun there, took your midday break, went over to Epcot for the evening. One thing I want to touch on there is you guys ate at Chefs de France. We don't talk about that very much on the show. I went there for the first time on the 4th of July, ironically enough, last year. I really liked it. What were your thoughts on that restaurant?
So half of the party liked it, the other half didn't. And I'm sitting on the side that I didn't like it. And the reason for that is because I had my almost 2-year-old sitting next to me, and this is typical France. So it's like you sit down and you're going to be there forever.
Yeah,
so,
true, true.
So we had a big table, and I think it was like 2 hours in, and we still like weren't even close to being done. So it was just very exhausting, and it was downpouring outside, so I had nowhere to take him. So it was, yeah, it was hard. But the other half of the table that wasn't next to the toddler, they had an awesome time down there.
You're just like,
oh. And wine and cheese. Yeah,
oh, man. That makes it worse for you.
Exactly.
Oh, man. No, I totally get it. And we're going to talk about that kind of it. Before we get out of here, I want you to share some of your tips. And I think that's a big one. When you take a toddler, man, you sit down dining is such a crapshoot, you know, like, and it's usually not even in your favor at all.
Oh my gosh. That's,
yeah. I remember those days with Mallory. Like, you know, like every once in a while, they let us roll the stroller in there and put it next to the table if she was sleeping in the stroller. And I'm like, please don't poke the bear. Don't wake her up. You know, like, we want to eat. Don't mess with her. Don't.
Exactly.
You'll regret it. I promise you. I'll tip you 100% if you just don't wake her up. I just want to enjoy my meal. Anyway, so, well, kind of speaking of dining, you guys went. So the next morning, you guys had Ohana for breakfast, which I'm a fan of over at the Polynesian because it's a character meal. Now, was this any different, even though it's not a buffet, it's family style, but you got the characters coming around. It's a lot more wild and crazy. It's not a, you know, it's definitely not a chef de France kind of atmosphere. So was there a difference for you with characters?
So Ohana is by far my favorite restaurant that we went to. And that was the one where, like, choking back the tears, I was having such an awesome time. The food came out right away. So Griffin got to eat immediately, which was wonderful. And then in the middle, they pass out maracas and the characters dance and walk around while all the kids follow shaking maracas. And so Griffin's kind of a shy kid. And so he went with Ava and they were holding hands and they were walking right behind Mickey. And he's just beaming and just shaking his maraca. And I swear, if Disney would have been like, give me $1 million, I probably would have shoved it over them because it was it was the best thing I think I've ever seen. Like, my kid's so excited with Mickey, having an awesome time. Everybody in the whole place is standing and dancing and clapping. And it was the best breakfast that we've ever had. The food was amazing. The people were amazing that were there. The characters were great. I still think, though, that it shouldn't be Lilo and Stitch. I think it should be Moana,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, Lilo and Stitch have kind of been around for quite a long time. Yeah, it might be time to pass the note onto a new occupant. But, yeah, I'm with you. That'd be kind of neat. I mean, but you know what? If they did that, boom, it'd be impossible to get in there. It'd be like the Seven Dwarves over at Artist Point.
Yeah.
You're one of those situations. But you're right. I mean, hey, do that. Now, after this, you guys went over to the Magic Kingdom, and one of the things I think that is really special about when you have extended family and you're taking kids and you got grandparents there is that the grandparents get to make memories with their grandchildren. And it sounds like the grandparents took Griffin on Winnie the Pooh and some other rides. And I mean, even though maybe you don't ride that ride, I mean, it's got to be special to kind of sit back and know that those memories are being made, because I can only imagine how fun that is for them.
Yeah, it's really nice to have that extra set of hands there, because you're dealing with food and strollers and bags. But when you stop and just look at them riding a ride or just sitting on the bench, like playing with a toy or seeing a character, it's amazing to know that they'll forever have that memory with them. And all the pictures we have of them there, it's just, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That is. All right, so for this night when you guys had dinner, you guys really kind of, you split into three groups. It says some went to Yachtsman, some went to the Wave, some went to Narcoosie's. So, yep. And I think that's one of the best tips ever that we can throw in here today is that when you're with a large group, you don't have to be together 24/7. And I think it's a better trip when you're not. Because just too much proximity leads to just, you kind of start to feel claustrophobic, you know, even with your own family, because you're not together that much usually. And I think this is a great idea. Everybody went, looks like, to a great restaurant. So how did that go? And how did you kind of decide who went where? And I mean, did you take Griffin to one of these restaurants? Holy cow, that'd be tough. Did you?
Yeah.
I guess you did.
Yeah. So when I started booking booking reservations, it was really hard to be able to get that many people at one restaurant, at one table, kind of limited our options. So then I started looking into, okay, well, if we do one reservation or that time with two reservations, would we be able to do that? And then it just kind of got better where, okay, no, we're just going to do different restaurants because, you know, a couple people want to do a date night here. Other people want to go to this one. So a big group went to Yachtsman. They had an awesome time there. The kids had a puzzle cookie, which I thought was probably one of the coolest things I've seen. They got a little puzzle pieces. They had to put their cookie together, and then they got to paint it with colored frosting. And then my brother and his fiance went to Narcoosie's, and they had an awesome time there. And then I went to the Wave with a couple, like my cousin and Mitch, and then we took Griffin to the Wave, which was also kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, the wave. I mean, it's not. Yeah, it's not very exciting. I mean, it's a good place to eat, but I mean, I can imagine for a toddler, not real exciting.
Yeah. So I made sure we always had lots of toys and games for him to play with, but it was really hard to bring him to sit down dinners. He was pretty good like a month before we went, and then you could just tell he kind of switched over and just changed right before our trip. And then now, of course, he can sit at a restaurant for 3 hours and be fine. But like, but when we went at the time, no, he couldn't handle it. So that's hard because you don't know how your kid's gonna be, especially when you're booking things out a lot earlier. So I would say my suggestion would be to do some way, the other, and then drop whatever doesn't work. And we tried to stick to them, and I kind of wish we would have maybe dropped the Wave at that time.
Yeah. And too, the thing is, you know, when you're mentioning like younger kids with dining, is that even if they can do it at home, it's such a crapshoot when you get down to Walt Disney World, because Everybody's out of their element. You know, you're overstimulated constantly. I mean, it's not really a bad, it's just what Walt Disney World is. There's music playing all the time. There's smells. There's people around you all the time. It's just, you know, and I think that's the thing. I think a lot of parents get really, really stressed when their kids are kind of fussy at dinner. And I understand, you know, when you go to some of these, you know, high-end restaurants like Yachtsman's, Narcoosie's, The Wave, you know, what have you, all these nicer places to eat. But, I mean, it's still Walt Disney World, and parents are doing the best they can. I mean, I hope so. I mean, every once in a while you see a parent just letting their kid run the show, and that kind of makes me mad. You know, but, I mean, if a kid's fussy, I mean, most parents, you know, they don't want their kid to be fussy either. You know, so let's kind of all work together and just make the best of the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the next morning, I want to talk all about food, because I want to talk about you guys going to Toy Story on this day. But you started the day off on Thursday with breakfast at Cinderella's Royal Table for some of you, which we really never talk about here on the show anymore. Man, when we started the show almost 12 years ago, this was like, you got to go to Cinderella's Royal Table. You know, this was before Be Our Guest and all these other experiences. So was it what you expected? Because again, it's, you know, you're eating in Cinderella Castle. It's like the icon. What are your quick thoughts on that meal?
So I didn't go to this one, okay, but I have actually been to Cinderella's Royal Table. We went probably maybe the first or second year that they ever started doing it. And so I was an older teen, I think is when I went. And it was okay, because I was still like kind of out of the princess's time. And it was cool to be in the castle, but I was kind of like, eh. But the people that went was my aunt, my cousin, and then Ava, the 9-year-old. And so she is big into the princesses. And so they had an awesome time and they absolutely loved it. The food, everybody says, is kind of, it's not really worth the money for the food. But for the experience and for being able to see all the princesses at once, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
They did it before the park opened, so my mom actually had to check them in because the reservation was under her name. So she got to experience the park with nobody in it because she just checked them in and then walked around. So she has like all these pictures of the park with no one in it. And so that was like her highlight, I think, of the trip.
Your mom wins. Your mom is smart. Yeah. That's so, yeah, I'm just going to drop you off here. Have a good breakfast. I'm going to go get some sweet pictures. Now, that's awesome. And, you know, I think, too, you make a great point. You know, the food is, you know, it's pretty standard, especially when we're talking breakfast food at Walt Disney World. It doesn't get real, you know, real crazy at any of these, you know, meals that are pretty expensive. But you can't look at it and say, I'm paying $60 for eggs. You got to say, I'm paying $60 for this experience. You know, it's an experience. It's not, I'm paying $60 for bacon and eggs, which I can get at McDonald's for, you know, $4 in a value meal. You can't, that's not apples to oranges.
Yeah. But I also must say that we were on the free dining. So
that helps.
it helps a lot. So it was like those three, they just, I think they did a table, or they didn't do a table service. So they could cover it. And like, we kind of moved things around and shifted things a little bit so they could go, because they were pretty excited about going.
Sweet. All right. So you guys went to Toy Story Land on this day. Very new, only a couple months up and running at that point. So what were your thoughts on that, being a big Disney fan?
Yeah, so it was extremely busy, of course. But Slinky Dog Dash, we got to ride, which there's only at this time. We went early to go to the Jedi training. So we signed Miles, who was the other child that was with us. He was 7 at the time. And so we signed him up for the Jedi training because it was we got in an hour early. Signed up for his time. Then we ran over, hopped in Slinky Dog Dash line, and signed up for the child swap. So I would recommend anybody who has a kid that can't ride, utilize the child swap as much as you can. And we were able to use them with our fast passes. I know there's been like some people can, some people can't, like that kind of thing. But we were able to do that. So we did the Slinky Dog Dash, and then while Griffin couldn't ride it, we went on Toy Story Mania, and not very many people were in the park at that time, but 30 minutes after, it was like a complete zoo.
Yeah, it does. Toy Story Land fills up fast. Well, actually, the studio,
it's really small. So yeah, it fills up really quick.
I think it'll be better once they kind of, you can pass through to Galaxy's Edge, I'm hoping. Because, you know, it's one way in, one way out, which makes it kind of clog up there.
Yeah.
Okay, so this day was epic. I mean, I'm looking at your notes. I mean, this day is pretty
was
sweet.
Busy,
I mean,
busy.
Holy cow. Because, I mean, your parents went over and checked out Food and Wine. You guys headed to the studios. You guys met up back at Epcot, did some like Crush Nemo, ate lunch at Sunshine Seasons. But you got to, I want to get to the night. You had an epic night. this is the night like you dream about. So you got to have date night with your husband at California Grill. Then you had the dessert party at the Magic Kingdom. Then did Disney After Hours that night. So how did that all go? I mean, was this a dream night, or was it too much in one night looking back? What do you say?
No, we are, like what I said, we're go, go, go Disney goers. So like, this was for me, I did 3 parks in a day and then the Disney After Hours. So I was still raring to keep going because Disney After Hours isn't as long as it used to be. I think it used to be like up until like 2 o'clock or something like that in the morning, which we did that when I was younger. But this one only went until midnight. But yeah, so we went to Epcot and ate at Sunshine Seasons, which was really good. And then we dumped everybody off and they all did more rides. But my husband and I kind of did, just the two of us, we went to California Grill, which was his complete highlight of the trip. He got a steak as big as his head and he was happier.
Heck yeah, there you go.
He was so happy. Oh my gosh. But yeah, so I've always liked California Grill. I did a girls trip a couple years ago, and that was like a highlight of my trip. So I absolutely love to make sure that I go there. And so we left and we met everybody at Magic Kingdom at the entrance. And then we went to the dessert party and they gave us a magical surprise and they upgraded us from the plaza garden view to a seated terrace view. I did a lot of research and specifically picked the Plaza Garden View because of the location, and you'd be able to see the castle instead of possibly have a tree in your way if you have a seated terrace view. But when we got there, they said they upgraded us, and then everybody was excited to just have a seat because by then it was 3 parks.
Yeah, no kidding.
In
please
one
let
day,
me sit.
Everybody
yeah.
needed to sit.
I can imagine. But I mean, were you still I know how exhausted Walt Disney World gets me, you know, and it wears you out. And especially you guys were there when it was still pretty warm. I mean, it's still summertime. So were you still like enjoying everything to the fullest extent, and especially after California Grill? Because once you get a belly full of food later in the evening, you know, I'm done in the summer. I mean, for the most part, just put a fork in me.
Yeah, we convinced the waitress for us to get an appetizer instead of a dessert because we were going to the dessert party. So she was good with that. And then I made sure I got the smallest steak because I was like, I'm not going to be able to load up on desserts if I don't eat a lot. But I think the entire trip, I was just like waiting for Thursday, because like Thursday was going to be the day that I knew I was going to be able to do everything that I want to do. I could ride all the rides that I wanted to at Disney After Hours and not be tied down with a toddler because he wasn't going to be there for that part. And then I got the date night with my husband. So it was just like this big ice cream sundae with cherry on top that I was going to have an awesome day. So I was not tired at all. I think a bunch of other people were really tired.
But it's funny when you don't have, I mean, we love our kids, all you know, the parents out there, we love our kids. But when you got that like window of like 6 hours, just your significant other, and you get to do something very special that you love like this, you really do. You got to take advantage of every single minute. You're just like, this is awesome.
Yep, exactly.
That's so cool. That's a great night, man. I was looking at that. I was like, holy cow. All right. So the next day, it looks like you kind of slept in, did Animal Kingdom in the afternoon. You said it was your hottest day, of course, because, you know, it's Animal Kingdom hot. What happened. So you guys explored Pandora. So then you went back at night when it was darker, but you had Setuli Canteen for lunch. Was that... That's my favorite counter service at Walt Disney World anywhere. What do you think? I didn't look, skip ahead to your notes. What'd you think?
So I still have cravings for that place.
Oh, me too.
I am not a bowl, like a throw everything together in a bowl eater. Like, I don't, I'm like, eh. But I was like, you know, I'm just going to pick something on the menu and try it. And I went, like, I literally went back and ordered more because it was so good.
Good.
That's how I went.
Over marathon weekend, I went over there just to have lunch. I mean, I rode other rides when I was there. I went on Dinosaur and a couple other things. So I'm like, well, I'm here. But I mean, if you ask me why I went, it was for the protein bowl. I just needed that. It was so good.
Yeah. And then they've got the boba drinks or something.
Yeah. With
like
those
that.
Little balls. Yeah. I don't even know what that's all
and
about.
So, like, that's my dessert. So I go there and get the little boba drink with the cream cheese dessert. Amazing.
We gotta stop. I need something now. Okay. So, everybody, sorry if you're running today on a Monday as you're listening to the show. I apologize. Now everybody's heading to Chipotle. That's about as close as you can get, you know, get the burrito bowl. At least around here.
Close.
It's not even close. You're right. You guys also did Flight of Passage while you were there. You did Child Swap. So again, first time on this, you probably read about it, heard about it. What were your thoughts?
So I actually went with that girls trip that I previously talked about. And that was either the first or second week, I think, that Pandora opened. So we got to experience it, and we rope dropped it and only had to wait for a few minutes, which was amazing. But this was everybody else's first time going on it. So, like, the talk up of me, like, talking about how amazing it is, and then everybody got to go on it, and it still lived up to their expectations. So I still think it's an amazing ride. I get a little queasy on it. But I got to make sure I take my Dramamine before I go.
Yeah, I should probably do that. All right, so let's. We're getting kind of short, so I want to hit some of these other highlights. I want you to kind of conclude with like the stuff you learned for our listeners. Then on Saturday, you guys have Be Our Guest for breakfast, Cape May for dinner, went over to the boardwalk. So any highlights from that you want to share? I mean, was there anything special about those meals, or you know, I love spending time around the boardwalk. I think it's a great time to kind of unwind. You're not in line. You're just you're kind of catching your breath at that point.
Yeah, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday were our last days, and I just kind of wanted to take it easy because I knew the whole buildup of everybody being there and excited, and then Thursday was a big day, and then it just kind of smooth sailing till we left. So Saturday we did Cape May, which was really, really good. It was a buffet, which worked out perfect for our toddler, and then, yeah, we just walked around the boardwalk. We actually took the ferry over to Hollywood Studios, and that's kind of a nice little relaxing time to be able to do that if you aren't staying over in that area already. And then we watched the fireworks, the Star Wars fireworks that night, which we had a couple huge firework fans, so they really enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah, I love those fireworks. I mean, as soon as Han Solo says, it's true, all of it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to cry. It's like, I'm a 6'3" guy, but man, that's the story of my life right there. So, yeah, I'm with you. All right, so let's kind of get, I want to get all, because you put a list of about 7 to 10 tips at the bottom of this list. And I think this is what folks need to hear, because these are all things that, you know, of course, they're your opinion, but you've been there, done that. And I think these are super important for folks to think about if they're going down for the first time with a toddler, especially, or, you know, a larger group, but also, you know, folks that have done this a few times. I think it's great to have the reminder, because sometimes, you know, we think of the big things, but we don't think of the details, and these things are fresh in your mind. So walk us through some of these tips that you got from this trip.
Okay, so like what we previously talked about was it was really hard for us to sit down and actually have a regular meal with our toddler. So I'd recommend like a buffet family style or quick service, like as much as you can. There's a lot of good food options within there. So it's not like you're just limited to burgers. So I would just do some research kind of behind what kind of foods you like and then what would work best for that.
Definitely. I agree.
And then, so we always made sure we had baggies full of dollar store toys. And so every couple of days we'd swap out the baggies. So we had like fresh stuff to play with and different sticker books and crayons and all that kind of stuff. Things that I was just going to throw away before we left, didn't have to bring it home, didn't worry about it. And we could lose them if we needed to lose them, but it kept them preoccupied in the line or plane or in the hotel room. So that worked really nice.
Yeah, that's crucial. Just go buy your dollar spot at your Target. Well, you guys are in Minnesota. That's a big deal. I'm giving you a plug. Yep. That's like your home state thing. But yeah, you know, Target's dollar spot or like a Walgreens, you know, they just so many, like you said, just stickers, markers, just stuff you're going to trash anyway. But yeah, that's how we, I mean, if you're driving down, that's what we used to do. Like every state, you know, when we cross the state line, we give Paige, you know, she's graduating college this semester. Can't believe we did this. Like, I'm getting so old. But yeah, we give her like, you know, a new toy. Like, oh yeah, now we're in Tennessee. You get a toy. Oh, yep. We're in Georgia. Here's another. And, you know, hey, they don't have to know how much it costs. They're kids. Okay. So you got a couple tips too on strollers. And I cannot agree more with having a light stroller and a small stroller, but something that's effective, right?
Yeah. So you mentioned it a lot in the old podcast, that bring a small stroller, bring something small. And you, I think you said you had the McLaren.
Yes, we still do. And it's green and gray. It's still the back of our Trailblazer. God, Mallory's 11. You know, it's like we still have it in there. We need to get rid of it. But yeah, we spent like $250 on it. I couldn't believe it. I had a heart attack.
Yeah, so I picked a big stroller and it was horrible. I was like, this will be perfect for us. This is everything that we need. And like the bigger kids could ride on the back of it if they need to. No, they walk the whole time and we were lugging this big stroller on and I was afraid somebody's going to steal it. Like, it was just too much. And then I also had bags that I bought that like attached to the side to be able to hold things. And every single time you go through security, you had to pull the bags off and let them search it. And I was like, oh gosh. So it was a pain in the butt. I would have just brought a cheap stroller with and it would have been fine.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, really, umbrella strollers work fine. Yeah, umbrella strollers work fine, especially if you can find an umbrella stroller that rocks all the way back so the kid can lay down and take a nap in it, you're golden. That's all you need.
I totally agree. Also, we had a stroller leash for sippy cups and snack cups. That was really helpful because he was at that age where he would just chuck them. And so it would either hit people or we would lose them. So this way it just like swung and stayed there. So that was really nice.
So, okay, so another thing you guys used was child swap a lot, it sounds like. And it was definitely to everybody's advantage. So a quick tip, because we get every week we get a question about child swap. So tips for using that to your advantage.
So we actually were able to, now I can't say that this is going to work for everybody that does it because they could change things. But we were able to, everybody book a fast pass, but like two people. And then those two people would ride a different ride with Griffin. We would sign up for child swap. And then two other people could go in place that they didn't have that fast pass.
Okay. And I mean, I can see where the strategy would work for most situations. Now, you also said that you stay back a lot of the times with Griffin. And those are some of the special moments of the trip for you.
Yep. So it's kind of chaotic when you have that many people. So to be able to have that one-on-one time with him worked really nice too. So everybody would go on the ride and then I would stay back and we would do something fun. So like we would go see a character or we would go ride one of the little kid rides that didn't have a long wait. And those are really, really special moments too.
So your last tip is what, when I read this, I read this afternoon. I'm like, this is the message I want everybody to leave today's show with on a Monday. Because you said it just right. I'm just going to read what you put. You said, not just cast members can spread the Disney magic. Buy lots of glow sticks at the dollar store before you leave and pass them out to kids waiting for the fireworks. You know what? That's happened to us many times over the many trips we've taken when Paige was younger, when Mallory's been growing up, going down to Walt Disney World. And we've been on both ends of it. You know, we've had extra like you said, those glow necklaces you get at Target in the dollar spot, or not noisemakers, but little, you know, just little dollar toys, you know, little games and so forth, the activity books. And if you have, like, you know, a couple extra, because a lot of, you know, basically both of my kids were only kids, you know, they weren't kids at the same, toddlers at the same time. So we would buy just three or four of them and give them out, you know, if somebody was sitting there, because it's funny how little kids, little toddlers can make friends so quickly with somebody sitting next to them waiting for a parade to happen or fireworks or what have you. And it's magical when that, when somebody reaches out to your kid and does that for them, and then, you know, you do it for another kid. I love that. So you guys had the opportunity to do that, because that's such a cool thing.
Yeah. So every time we go, we always make sure that we go to the dollar store, we pick up glow sticks and get a lot of them. And then every single firework display that we watch, we always pass them out. And it's just, you see their faces light up. It gives an opportunity for the kids to go make friends, like what you were talking about. And usually you're sitting there for a while waiting for the fireworks.
Yes.
So it's kind of fun to be able to talk to people around you, and it's a good little icebreaker. I love to spread the Disney magic as much as I can.
You know what? And as a dad, I love that, because, like, maybe that'll distract my kid and she won't need the $25 Buzz Lightyear spinny thing that they're selling.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
The cart. Like, you just have a necklace. That's so cool. It lights up just like Buzz Lightyear. You know, hey, we got to all do what we got to do. Well, I mean, this, it just sounds like a great trip, especially that Thursday night, man, where you did the three parks, you had the date night, you had the dessert party, you did extra magic arts, you guys, but the whole trip. So would you do, I mean, has everybody kind of talked about doing another large trip like this again? Is this something that's stewing and maybe in the works to try this all, everybody get down there at the same time again?
No, I think this is probably our one and done. My in-laws might want to do it. So, like, my husband's whole big family might want to do a trip like this. But, yeah, I don't want to do another big trip like this for a while.
It's a different trip. Well, Oriana, thanks for coming on the show with us today. It's a great way to start the week, and sounds like you had a good time, and lots of tips for everybody. So hopefully everybody walks away with something to make their next trip better. So thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by friends over at therunningbuddy.com. I'm telling you, I was down there. Actually, I'm still down there today for Princess Half Marathon Weekend, coming home tonight on Monday night. But trust me, for the half marathon, the 10K that I ran, I had the Running Buddy pouch right there on my waist. I've used that for every single Disney race. Every run I take, I have the Running Buddy pouch to keep my iPhone in. It's a great little thing. It's super small. Clips with magnets right onto your waistline there, and your phone's secure. You can pop it out to take pictures. You guys know I take a ton of pictures during races. It's the best friend of a runner, so check it out over at therunningbuddy.com. Also, if you're not a runner, they have great purses and backpacks, and it's got all the Disney characters on there, Mickey, Minnie. It's great stuff. So when you check out, type in Be Our Guest, get 10% off at checkout and a free Disney pin. So again, check them out over at therunningbuddy.com. And don't stand in lines. We don't want to do that. Check out our friends over at touringplans.com for the latest information so that you can zig when everybody else zags and have a better trip. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And last little plug here, when you do your online shopping on Amazon, hey, if you're buying some of these little toys, you don't want to have to go up to Target, which is a good thing, but hey, you can buy them on Amazon too. Click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. Well, it's time to get out of here and let you get back to work here on a Monday. But we really appreciate Oriana coming on the show. And for Oriana, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. But time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.